We resume our meeting, and we're going to talk about wider corporate reporting, broader financial reporting.
Okay.
Whatever you like.
Okay.
Thank you, Hans. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, here we are again. I presented to you in July where the board had got to in its consideration of wider corporate reporting. So today I'm going to bring you up to date on what's been happening since July and what the board has decided at its November meeting. Just a quick reminder, as I told you in July, that following the trustees' last review of structure and effectiveness, the foundation's current strategy towards wider corporate reporting, by which we mean anything outside the financial statements, should play an active role but not be at the forefront of leading developments in these areas. The trustees also agreed that there should be some staff work undertaken to look into this area, monitor developments, and develop a study of what the future role of the board might be. The outcome of the trustees' review was reflected in the board's last agenda consultation, the feedback statement of which was issued in November 2016. And as you know, papers were presented to the board at March 2017 meeting, looking at an initial survey of the landscape and some options for what the board might do. I mean, at the time, the staff, me, at the time, I've now been joined by Matt Chapman, who's a practice fellow on secondment from KPMG. We went to the board and saw that the evidence was that wider corporate reporting was growing in prominence and importance, and we viewed it as important that the board play some kind of role in those developments. But that didn't mean that we foresaw the board writing ESG or integrated reporting standards off its own bat. Following the March meeting, we've had consultations with the Advisory Council in April, with yourselves in July. There was an IFAS session at its September meeting, and I had the joys of presenting to the EFRAG board last month, so some of you were there and made your views known. It's fair to say that one of the options put to all those meetings was whether the board should look to revise and update its December 2010 practice statement on management commentary. And it's fair to say there was a range of views in all those meetings. And we were quite candid with the board in reporting that to them last month. So I'll just put that on the table before you start attacking us from where the board gets to. Some of the work we did, we looked at the use and influence of the existing practice statement, used explicitly by very few companies, although two of them were HSBC and SAP. In academic literature, it seems to be used quite a bit as a benchmark for reflecting views on the quality of companies' narrative reporting. But it seems to be much more of an influence in the development of other standards and frameworks. And I look at, in particular, the International Integrated Reporting Council's framework developed in 2013. It also got a plug in the development of the original GAS 20 in Germany, the FRC's original strategic report guidance in the UK, for example. So it has had an influence, in particular, in the development of some other frameworks. And as part of our research, we found growing calls for dealing with a problem in the fact that there is just so much, I'll use an English vernacular, stuff out there in terms of frameworks, codes, pieces of guidance. I think I told you in July, pick a number. Yeah, are there 300 pieces of guidance, 400, or the Reporting Exchange, a recent web development put together by the Climate Disclosure Standards Board and the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, have clocked over 1,000? We haven't looked into the 1,000. I think we peered over the parapet and very quickly
yet
dived yet. Well, I'll leave that to the staff. It won't be me. But we have seen increasing calls for some kind of convergence in this area, with the lack of a generally accepted framework and standards for wider corporate reporting in its larger sense, and perhaps more specifically in relation to our board and relevant to you, is the lack of alignment and integration between non-financial reporting and financial reporting. And some of the research we undertook actually contained calls upon this board to do something, to play a role in this area. In the paper you had sent to you, Agenda Paper 4, I quoted from the Accountancy Europe conclusions of its session in September. Now, I know that at least one person at the September event questioned the Accountancy Europe conclusions, so I'll give you a...
In this room.
In this room. I'm just being honest with you. So I'll give you the Accountancy Europe call for action dated 18th of September, in which they say, and I quote, "We therefore encourage the ISB to play a more active role in wider corporate reporting as they are currently contemplating. A revision and update of the IFRS practice statement management commentary reflecting recent evolutions could, in our view, be a positive step in this direction." End of quote. So we've got a number of those calls coming through. And that led us to think about the board's role. And in particular, if you look at the original management commentary practice statement, that talks about management commentary lying within the boundaries of financial reporting, meeting the definition of other, not broader, financial reporting as set out in the preface to IFRS's. Now, there's no precise definition of what other financial reporting is, but in November, the staff, us two, took a kind of straw man to the board to say, well, we think it's looking at information that is material to investors, and that's an important thing I'll come back to, around such things as a company's business model, strategy and operating environment for long-term value creation, non-GAAP financial performance measures, what we termed pre-financial information. I'm looking at Andreas here, sorry. copyright Andreas Barkov.
No.
But anyway, we thought that was a good phrase. It's
going to get rich.
Yes.
We're talking about royalty.
Well, we might, once we can find out how to mine bitcoins, we'll. As being non-financial information that addresses matters relevant to an understanding of the financial performance and position of the company, in particular those aspects that are not yet reflected in the financial statements themselves, and as well an importance in looking at forward-looking information. So in taking all that, and in response to the calls for the board to take some role in this area, we took the view with the board and discussed with them that the board was best placed to address some aspects of this area, in particular the link between narrow financial reporting, if I'll use that term, it's a relative term because if you look at the financial statements, they're not so narrow themselves, and other financial reporting. And our view was that the board is well placed to ensure a good fit and connectivity between the financial reports and wider non-financial information, as well as ensuring the integrity and discipline in the way that financial figures are reported in management commentary. We know from bitter experience how many people adjust the figures, and lo and behold, they seem to adjust them in the way that increase profits. We think that, as I mentioned earlier, that the existing practice statement has had an important influence, but it has been overtaken by some of the events I mentioned, developments I mentioned earlier. Mm. And the aim is that the board can, we think, help to bring some clarity into this confused landscape. That is going to be the trick, to bring clarity, not just add to the confusion. We discussed with the board our view that in order to remain relevant, the practice statement should be updated, and updating it should answer the call from those that the board should play a more active role.
It's important, we think, that the board should continue to take a principles-based framework approach to the practice statement that would allow it to be used in conjunction with other frameworks and codes, and continuing to use it as a non-mandatory pronouncement reduces the risk of creating conflicts with other frameworks and codes and stepping on the toes of the responsibilities of other players in this area, if you think about the securities regulators in particular. But you know, it gives the board the opportunity to discuss with jurisdictional authorities how they might perhaps formally adopt, hopefully, the practice statement in their jurisdictions. So what would a updated practice statement look like? We gave the board some indications, early indications. I mean, obviously, in looking at the purpose, bringing in a focus on value creation and reference to the longer term, reporting on the company's business model, explicit reference to a broader range of resources. I'll use that term rather than the six capitals that the Integrated Reporting Council use in its framework, which does seem to have caused some angst and confusion around the place. And obviously we'd need to update it in terms of materiality for what's come through in terms of the conceptual framework, the recent materiality practice statement, and the definition of materiality project that's currently underway. So taking all that into the interview, we discussed it with the board and they agreed that it would take on a project to revise and update the practice statement. I mean, among other things, the view was taken that such a project will help to address a deficiency in financial reporting. It's a pervasive issue of importance to all users and all entities. And it would fit well with the better communication theme of the board's existing work plan. But in so doing, we asked the board and got their confirmation that the work on the practice statement should be limited to the provision of other financial information. This is not a land grab into the ESG wider sustainability area. And again, that you know, the board's focus would be on meeting the needs of existing potential investors, lenders and other creditors, as defined in the conceptual framework. Again, no wider land grab into the kind of GRI area that looks at the needs of wider stakeholders altogether. So that's by way of introduction. We've given you a couple of questions to consider. I mean, one is any comments, suggestions on the scope and the areas that should be covered, and any other views and comments would be welcome. And with that, unless Matt, you want to say, have anything?
No, I think the only thing I'd add is that the board decision on to limit the focus to matters relevant to the financial statements brings a lot of clarity to us as the staff in terms of where we take the drafting, and allows us. You know, it gives us the steer to focus on areas such as non-GAAP measures, pre-financial information, etc. So it's much narrower than people tend to assume in terms of scope.
Thank you. With that, throw it open.
Okay, I open the floor. Andreas.
I would set the scene in saying expectation management seems to be key in this project. And expectation management regards what you are going to do, what you're not going to do, what the deliverables will be. I think expectations, as far as I'm concerned, are very high as regards the ISB at the moment. And I would say they extend beyond updating the management commentary. Whether it is wise, legitimate, sensible, I leave that for others to decide. But over the recent months, we have been on various conferences, outreach events, and there seemed to be a consistent messaging that the ISB needs to do something or should do something. Those that have made the calls haven't been any more explicit than that. Certainly they haven't mentioned the practice statement on management commentary. So, which then begs the question, okay, what could it be? What is it then? I should probably remind fellow board colleagues that in Europe we do have legislation, the directive, the accounting directive, that mandates that all listed companies must prepare management commentary. And not only do they just say you have to prepare one, they also set out quite specifically, as recently amended by the Non-Financial Information Directive, as to what has to go into that. That doesn't stop national standard setters on providing extra guidance, but you could say, well, the legal framework as such says everybody has to do it. So from that angle, a non-mandatory practice statement management commentary wouldn't be of any help, because there is a legal framework that everyone has to comply with. Given that management commentary is more precise in the European arena than it is in the principles-based arena of the IFRS, it doesn't add anything. So even if you update it and try to remain principles-based, which I think is wise probably, if you don't want to clash in conflict, wouldn't add anything. So there would not be big uptake in Europe, I suppose. And that's just to set the scene. Content-wise, I think the ISB could do more. Management commentary, I think, is an obvious place to say if you want to venture into narrative reporting, and I deliberately choose that term rather than non-financial reporting, because it may be things that are explanatory in nature but still financial. Maybe things that are non-financial in nature but with a financial impact. It may be a risk management report where something has already happened and you are uncertain as to the consequences financially. It might even be forward-looking information, where usually the doors shut on the other side of the Atlantic whenever we mention this for legal reasons. So different people associate different things with a management commentary, and you could take a wider or narrower look. Where I think the ISB could do something is if you look into your corporate reporting dialogue, where, say, at least 8 very important stakeholders sit and discuss the boundaries and the borderlines of their respective frameworks and standards. It is good, I think, that this discussion is taking place, but the discussion alone would probably not help to bridge the financial and non-financial arena. And I believe that rather than creating a super standard setter, be it the IRC or any other one who tries, I now take care of this, I believe that all of the parties that come together at the CRD could probably do their part in coming closer to the borderline. And what do I mean by that? David, you just mentioned ESG factors, and I just take one example that you also cited, the TCFD recommendations. So it started with a political push. They asked regulators to think about a reporting impact of climate change on entities, not on society at large, but on the entity. And they come up with recommendations for reporting. And if you read the recommendations, I would say we would probably be certain this is financial reporting, what they said. There are additional information where you could say, well, this probably could equally be placed in sustainability reporting, but there are certainly aspects where you would say this is classic financial reporting, whether you talk about setting up provisions or whether you talk about impairment testing of some property that you do have. So I think what you could be doing is analyze the ESG factors or the capitals, as you named them, and say, where is the financial reporting impact? And who would be better suited in looking into these rather than any other player? Why should GRI come from an ESG perspective and now say you have to do this in financial reporting? for them, it's forbidden ground equally. So, but if nobody takes up these issues, I think it would just be unresolved territory, and we would probably see the frameworks grow from 1,000 to 1,500. I would think that if those players that currently talk to each other try to narrow the gap and do their bits on their side of the border, I think much will be achieved, especially if you then think about what's then the next round of deliberations that's to take place, say, in 10 or 20 years. Is the future integration, where it doesn't really matter whether something is financial or non-financial? Is it, does it probably matter more to see, is this assured information? Is this audited? Is this verifiable? Something like that. But the borderline would probably be blurred, because it would be very hard to say, is this core financial or is it just tiny financial? And I don't know whether this would matter in any sense anyway, especially from an analysis perspective. So if I summarize, I would say, to me, updating management commentary is what I would call housekeeping. I would think you have to do it, because the document by now is already 8 years old and clearly is outdated. The environment has marched on, and the least you should be doing is updating that and bring it up to the forefront. Now, that I would call is the bare minimum. And if you ask me, my guess would be that if that was all, a vast majority of the constituency would be disappointed, because expectations are different.
Well, but I suppose that one of the things that need to be updated is that compared to 8 years ago, it is much clearer now that, for example, sustainability issues can have a clear financial impact.
That's exactly
what you're saying.
Yeah,
so
that,
it sounds,
that's true.
I mean, part of the expectation in management is calling it updating the management competence.
Yeah, but it is not just updating, it's amending, and it's...
Yes, of course.
It might be more than an overhaul, which then leads me to another thing that I believe is critically important, and I had the pleasure of chatting with Matt during the break. I think this is a huge communication exercise. You need to make abundantly clear to those outside, what is the problem? Why do you believe you are at least partially suited to attack this problem? And what is it that you plan to do? And also leave the door open to say, if you feel that there are further pushes that believe the ISB has a role even beyond management commentary, then stay in the loop, listen to them, and keep the door open. And we'll pause here and not consume the time.
I agree with every word you say. Noble.
Yes, thank you, Hans. There are no plans to adopt the practice statement in our jurisdiction, and we have not heard of any needs from constituents regarding the revision to the practice statement. And we would like the ISB to focus on financial statements and to focus on developing authoritative standards and not these non-mandatory standards. Having said that, if the ISB were to revise the practice statement, we would like the ISB to make the revised language general enough so to accommodate various types of initiatives. And in our view, the ISB seems to focus too much on the IR framework developed by the IRC. So we want to be more general than that.
I think that's the intention. I mean, I'm aware that Japan,
yes.
But there's METI guidance. There's quite a few Japanese companies already moving towards integrated reporting, whether or not they follow the framework, but we're aware of those developments. And the idea is that it would fit with a range of frameworks and codes, not just with the IR framework.
Chris?
Thanks, Hans. So Australia and New Zealand support you working on the management commentary for a number of reasons. So I think the first thing is, if you go back to the conceptual framework, I think it is focused on user needs, and I don't think that there's anyone who would say today that financial statements alone give users all the information that they actually need. So I do think there is a space that the ISB needs to be playing in to make sure that you're actually providing all the information that a user does require. We'd also support starting narrow and so focusing on things that do have a more concrete impact on the financial statements to start with and not getting into some of the broader areas at this point. Having said that, I'd pick up on a couple of things that I think Andreas was also drawing out. I think if you set this up properly, you can actually establish what I'd call an overarching framework that can actually apply to any sort of wider reporting. And that's some of those concepts we talked earlier this morning, things like materiality. We talk about things like neutrality and completeness and faithful representation. But those things apply whether or not it's financial statements that you're talking about or it's other things. And I would also note that the TCFD, I thought, did a fabulous job in actually using the framework that we already have to work out what their disclosures were. So I think there's already a demonstration that that can work. So that's what I would be looking at, is when you're setting this up, don't just go in with a narrow focus that this is only for management commentary. It could be set up in such a way that you can then plug in other things that also fit as well. And that for me is the piece that I think people are missing with integrated reporting, because they don't know how to get from the financial statements to the end piece. And if you can provide some way to get there on sort of a step fashion, I think people would find that particularly helpful. And I think that's the communication piece, is that you're not taking over the world, but you're just helping people understand how to put all this information together in a sensible way. We'd also agree that it's not mandatory in and of itself at this point. But what I would suggest to you is that, again, keep your eyes open, because for me there's a couple of things that could be management commentary and not mandatory, but there's also some things that I suspect should be mandatory. And I think about things like risk. And I just believe that that's, and also say intangibles, again. Let that one go through. But for me, they're the two black holes that we have in current reporting. So if you think about risk at the moment, we just have some disclosures in 7 in terms of financial instruments, but we don't have anything else that says, well, what are the risks that are attaching to this information? Like, how reliable is it? Is it, you know, likely to change massively in the next little bit? So I suspect there's some elements of this when you're going through that you'll say, well, actually, that should be mandatory. That's not something that's a choice. And again, I would certainly encourage you to think about intangibles, because again, some of it you might think, oh, well, that's an easy answer. We can just put that into management commentary. I'm not really personally, I just believe that's not the right answer for some of those aspects. So if you think about it that way, I think there's lots of crossovers with your current projects in terms of your principles of disclosure, and so I'd just be trying to make sure that you're actually having all of those teams talking to each other and you're not missing opportunities there. And then lastly, just New Zealand is doing some research at the moment in terms of what's actually happening in that country for wider reporting, so what people are actually doing, and they're very happy to share that when that research is available.
Patrick?
Broadly, I share the diagnosis that broader or wider corporate reporting is important, fast-growing, developing, and probably one of the linkage with existing financial information is one of our topics. I share the view, most of the views expressed by, no, if not all the views expressed by Andreas. I would like to say something from an institutional perspective. I think we need to be careful. A friend of mine, he was using an expression. You open a window, that was at the time of the Soviet Union. You open a window and you have 200 Soviet tanks that go through the opening of the window like that, 10 centimeters. So let's be careful not to give the impression that via the revision of the management report practice statement,
we in fact create something, even if it's voluntary, something much larger, much more ambitious. So I seriously think that the other point, sorry, is that we need to be careful at the moment, as David quite rightly mentioned, there are 200 initiatives in this domain. One more every day. So, but it is a major evolution. And no major evolution, in my view, can happen without a consensus from the governing authorities of the areas you want to work with. So, in other words, I think that before extending the mandate, I would be extremely careful not to do it via the small opening of the window, because that's that will be so obvious. Careful. I would seriously consider that we have a discussion. There is a broader discussion on the mandate. And in practical terms, I'm supportive. I said it at the Accountancy Europe event, even if I have not heard the same conclusion, but probably the conclusions were a little different in the communique, in the press release, that in the during the meeting. So it's okay. That happens. I said it. I think it is cooperation. First of all, I think that the quality of financial information so far that we have achieved over decades is such that it is certainly an interesting pivot to develop further information of a financial nature or close to a financial nature of an integrated reporting type, because you are extending the quality, even if it's sometimes criticized, of what is prepared via standard setting preparers. You extend the quality. It requires a lot of prudence on how to operate, because some of the information that will be prepared will not be easy to qualify in terms of where is it coming from, is it audited, is it linked to processes, etc. We all know that. So I am also in favor of standard setting, accounting standard setting, having a role to play. Now I think it's a broader also group of people that should take care of that under, if you have understood me, under a public umbrella, following a consensus. If we don't do that, we are going to multiply private initiatives. It will be coming from all over the place, and we will not progress. But progress requires a prior agreement and prior consensus, in my view. I recognize, you know, I need to say something about David's efforts, because he is working very well and very hard, and I hope he's not taking what we say as a cold shower, unless he likes cold showers in the morning.
Hey, Lynn, it's not going to be me, so.
For a cold shower.
He's going to have very lengthy baths.
Yeah.
In general, we support the strategy for the board to take a more active role in the wider corporate reporting initiatives. And we agree that the board is the body that is best placed to address the link between narrow and other financial reporting. Considering the use and influence of practice statements, we think that you should revise it. However, the scope of the revision should be limited to the changes of the IFRS requirements to date only. And we think that the revised version should be principle-based and non-mandatory as before.
Linda.
Thanks. So we are a jurisdiction across the Atlantic.
is that the revenge about some people get agitated?
So we actually have MD&A requirements that require forward-looking information. Okay? having written many of those myself, so just to clarify that point. So we hadn't brought the practice statement into Canadian requirements, but we're very supportive of the board, the ISB, providing a leadership role to, in essence, enhance best practice in financial reporting. And we are comfortable with the discussions in November that, you know, you focus it on the provision of other financial information, et cetera. And in our mind, there's an opportunity for the practice statement to not just focus on some set of minimum requirements, but to actually talk about best practice. Because what we would do with it then most likely would be to talk to our securities regulators and say, okay, our guidance is here. We're seeing this new practice statement coming from the ISB, and it's kind of raised the bar. So what are we going to do? Are we going to adopt that, or are we going to raise the bar here? But when you do that, you raise the bar. And isn't that what we should be doing in terms of promoting better practices? So we understand that while we might not necessarily adopt it from that perspective, it would have an influence on our financial reporting, and we would take the leadership role of saying this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So putting ourselves in your shoes, we think that you should do that. We also think that when you have 100-plus jurisdictions following your standards, and not all of them have the same kind of regulatory guidance, that you're doing a good thing for those jurisdictions in terms of raising their financial reporting practices, hopefully. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy most about standard setting, is the sharing of information and helping each other come to, you know, stronger environments because we learn from each other. So we think that's very important. And, you know, there's other examples that some of you have mentioned with regard to things. But, you know, you talked about, you know, other financial information. So one of the things that I think about is inherent in these financial statements, what are the future risks for things that they're not doing that could be affected by climate change or, you know, sustainability issues, et cetera? I think that should be discussed in conjunction with the financial statements. And that could be a miss today. And we should be looking to address those things. And we think we address it in Canada through our regulatory guidance, but if we can raise the bar globally, we think that's a better thing. So in our view, we would support you doing it. We would generally support it being non-authoritative. If you're going to think about making it authoritative, then I think you need to involve those regimes who have the regulators giving this guidance so that we don't get it cross-purposes.
Andrew.
Thank you. Back on this side of the Atlantic.
First of all, thank you to David for coming to talk to the FRAG board and listening to the there were mixed views. I mean, as you know, practice statement, or even if it was a mandatory statement on management commentary, I don't think can be endorsed under existing European law. That said, it's not entirely clear what role FRAG will be playing going forward. We'll need to take a decision from the FRAG board, and the European Commission will quite possibly have a view on the extent of our involvement. So we shall see. Just a couple of points to make in that context right now. So words like connectivity and linkage come up quite a lot. It seems to me logically, if you're going to aim for a well-connected approach between the financial statements and the wider corporate report, the right phrase is, that could potentially affect the contents of the financial statements as well as the content of the wider corporate reports. An example came up of risk disclosure, where there's already some flexibility on the placement of information, but it's just one example. So we'd certainly be very interested in whether there will be ramifications for the financial reporting standards themselves. But moreover, as others have mentioned, even if this were to be adopted in the European Union, it can still make a difference. And I think there's clearly a strong demand for some thought leadership, some inspiration on how this ambition for better connectivity can be achieved. So at least at a personal level, I'll be following the work with interest.
Well, then I suppose that we will
continue to discuss it in ASAP.
Yes. And I'll,
you can always have your personal.
As far as I know.
Well, you can take a tea break.
Do you hope?
Thank you. My comments will be pretty much aligned with the point Chris already made. We support the ISB taking on the task of updating the management commentary practice statement for the reason, among others, that MCPS should make up for deficiency in traditional financial statement alone by placing greater emphasis on the importance of value creation over time. To this end, I think this updating project could gain an inspiration, a book titled The End of Accounting, which was recently authored by Baruch Lev, professor of accounting and finance at New York University's Stern School of Business. This book sends a message that the conventional financial reporting has been severely broken and thus should be reformed in tandem with the prescription of additional investor-oriented disclosure. One of his key suggestions is to adapt accounting to the revolutionary change in the value-creating resources of business enterprise. In the midst of the continuous rise of intangible capital, so I strongly encourage the ISB's project on updating MCPS to build on the messages and suggestions by this book. But don't get me wrong, I don't personally promote this book. I'm not related.
It's good that you say so, because I was about to have a remove.
I've been instructed to say.
Well, I think that is a pretty, not unanimous, but pretty clear support from most of you. Personally, one unwritten motivation for this exercise is that it is also a way for the board to learn, to make a discovery tour around all the new developments in reporting. And though I don't think, Mr. Baruch
Lev,
that I don't think that accounting is broken, but it is clear that investors use a lot more other information for their valuation of companies, much more than they did in the past, and that the relative participation or role of accounting as we know it has been reduced somewhat. I still think it is an absolutely essential anchor point, but there is a lot more, and it has a lot of that information has relation to value creation of the company, and I think we need to find out more and see if we have to do extra work as we are doing in this exercise, or that we even need to adapt our own standards. And I think we're going to find out through this exercise. For example, are we going to do more about intangibles?
Mission accomplished.
And why I also think it is extremely important is the capital markets are so plagued by short-termism, and the management commentary is the place where a company can tell its story about its strategy for long-term value creation. And that is, I believe, an extremely important antidote to the short-termism of the financial markets. So that's a service I think we should provide to the investor community. Okay. With this little preach, move to the next subject.
Thank you.
We thank David, and we wish him many long and very hot baths. Yeah.
My wife, my dog, and I wish you well.